This is episode 227 on October 19th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Dave Podner.
Welcome back, Dave. We haven't had you for a while. How are you doing?
It seems like forever. Good to be back.
Good. Yeah, we didn't have a show last week. Last Thursday, I was wiped out. And we tried to record on Friday night, not a live show, but just, we wanted to do something. And so we tried Friday night, but I had issues with my Skype where I was getting like every other, almost every other word out of the conversation. And so there was nothing to record, but we had Matt Hoffman on, we had Greg McMillan, we had Dave and myself, and it was like, wow, just a, great bunch of guys, and we weren't able to record.
But yeah, it was probably the best thing anyone ever heard on the internet, too.
Yes. So we said, all right, well, there's nothing we can do about it, and we'll just have to wait till next week. And so here we are. So you were out sick the week before.
Yeah.
Since then, what have you been up to?
Ooh, it's been kind of busy. And I posted a little video I put together on Apple Clips about a walk we had. The local hockey team had a charity walk.
Oh, cool.
We did it last year. We did it again this year. And of course, the local hockey team also brought the Stanley Cup along because, well, back-to-back champs do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I have to admit, that is one thing that is kind of neat for hockey versus the other professional sports, is that your championship trophy gets passed along year to year to year. So it's the same cup that's been around for probably over 100 years.
Well, yeah, this gets
passed
big
around from place to place.
I mean, where are people going to put it?
Yeah. But no, it was a beautiful day out, and because walking it versus running it, I actually got a chance to take a good amount of pictures on the course.
Nice.
And the way it was kind of snaking through the city and hit a nice bridge, so it got a nice reflection shot there,
nice,
too.
Nice.
So that was good.
One of these days, my sharks will get a chance to hold on to it. They're not looking good right now. Yeah, they were. Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, other than that, really just normal life stuff like everyone else, luckily. And how'd your week been going?
Pretty good. Just been diving into my job. I'm now able to do my regular duties since I took my new position back August a year ago. And so it was a nice week to kind of test the water and get into the fiber and telephone splicing like I should be doing. I've been training guys on my old job for the last year, and so with a little bit of splicing in between, but now that we have everything set up, we're able to, have those guys just focus on my old job, and now I'm diving in doing my new job. So it was nice. Podcast-wise, we're actually, so we announced that we're going to be putting these episodes up on YouTube. And so this week, I was able to take images, and I did a test run I wanted to see how much it was going to be involved. Plus, you know, Mark and I are trying to figure out which program to use. We don't want to spend money on something that should be relatively easy. And right. And so I was able to take it, put some images in, and I'm coming up with a sort of a process of what I want to do. And so Mark's going to help me work on the credits and what we want for the beginning and the end of the show. And so I took something, put it together, stuck it up on YouTube. You can't find it. It's unlisted. So Mark, Dave, and I are going to look at it, come up with some ideas, and make sure that it looks good, because we want to have not only a podcast that is worth listening to, but we want to be able to have the episodes worth watching. Right. And so, normally when you put up a video, it's, anywhere from like a minute or two to say 10 minutes. Well, our show can go anywhere from 45 to an hour or even longer. So how do you get it to where, you don't bore the watcher, cause listening's one thing, but how do you keep it interesting, especially when it's not live? So we're going to test this out. We're going to see how it goes. We're going to try and get some feedback, and then we're going to go for it or do something different. We don't know, but we're going to try something.
Yeah. Yeah. So, also, we don't want to put images up of ourselves.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We don't really, no, we don't really need that. Yeah. Or I don't think anybody else would really need it. I've been doing that. I've been, kind of getting things ready for that. But then also I've, just a little bit here and there, the nice change in weather, I like being outside right now. So, I'm going to start, probably venturing out and taking some images, because most of the time, especially during the summertime, I don't like being outside. It's not comfortable here in the South. No. I get, bombarded with humidity and heat, and being that I'm slightly overweight, it doesn't mix well. So I try to avoid that.
Yeah. Living just a little north of you in North Carolina for, how long I was down there for, like 3 years.
Yeah.
Being a slightly chubby guy down there. It's something that, coming from the north, I mean, it's not like I'm coming from, somewhere cold, way, way up north, like New Hampshire. Uh-huh. But, Pittsburgh gets summer.
Yeah.
But headed down there, it was like, it's all of a sudden, it was late May.
Yeah.
And I moved down there in December. So it was like, this is great. There's hardly any snow. It's nice and warm in the January and February, and it's beautiful in the spring. And then you get air conditioning season.
Yes.
And it was like, great. Work's over. And, people I know, the apartment complexes had like a tennis court and stuff you could do outside. You get off of work and it was 95 degrees. And I'm it's 95. I'm not going to run around at 95. No, that's not comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my 13th summer working outside. So I have, I deal with it during the day, but after that, I'm not, it's like, why subject myself? So now we're getting into jacket weather, and I love jacket weather. And so, this is the time of year that I look forward to, and knowing that, it's not going to get hotter, it's going to get cooler. But, right now we're we're getting mid 70s, and I think next week we're going to be in the mid to lower 60s. So I'm looking forward to that.
Most definitely.
All right. Real quick, we have an announcement for the Tiny Shutter podcast. lately we've had Greg McMillan filling in, and we asked him, and he's agreed to join the show. He can't be here today because he's working, but on the weeks that he's not working nighttime on a Thursday night, he will be joining us. So we want to thank Greg for joining the show. We really enjoy having him on, and thought, you know what, let's bring him on. And he was thrilled. So we just wanted to say thanks to Greg, and we look forward to having him on. And so I'll be announcing that after the show on the Facebook group. But everybody who's in the chat right now gets to know ahead of time. So thanks, Greg. And he's actually in the Mixler group. He can't hear us because he's at work, but you know, he's with us in spirit.
Oh yeah. And even though his body's unfortunately stuck at work.
Yes. So cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and we will move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. Dave, why don't you take it from here?
Sure. Sure. And given the time of year, which used to be known as fall, now known apparently as pumpkin spice season.
Yeah.
As everything turns orange, we figure it'd be a good time to go over shooting fall foliage. Now, we understand that this is a little bit mid to upper latitude centric. If you happen to live in Florida, you really don't have any change in weather, or in the Southwest a lot of times. But this is just around time, and there are plenty of places to see exactly when your place where you're living will be at peak for fall colors. Also, it's a great time, like you were saying about the weather changing, where it's a lot more comfortable to get outside and just enjoy being outside and not having to run from, if you're in a hot climate, air conditioned area, or if you're unfortunately not having air conditioning, just sweating everywhere you go.
Yes. It's a good thing the iPhones are getting to be water resistant.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I know around here we're not at peak yet, but I've seen people post in the chat room. Let me actually get the person's name who posted, because I want to give him Dan Williams, who is in Nevada, who posted a gorgeous picture of some yellow trees.
Nice.
In switchover. So I know the west half of the country is having much cooler weather.
Yes.
So even though I know trees and things tend to go on the amount of sunshine, having that cold weather kind of saps everything and then brings out the burst of colors.
Yes, it does.
So we figure it's a good time to, even if you're not at peak now, but have ideas of, you know, when your peak happens, or if you start noticing the colors changing, what you can do to best get photos when it comes to looking at the colors.
Yeah.
Now, I know that when it comes to, and to me, it's always best if you can somehow get lucky enough, if it's either on a day off for you or on a weekend, if you have off on the weekend where you can take some time and really enjoy what's around you. But if it's during a work period, it's like, oh, peak colors lasting, you know, 4 days, and it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, great, that's wonderful. I'm at work 8 hours a day, and it's right now, at least for us, it's starting to get dark around 7 o'clock or so.
Yes.
So it's like, ugh. So a lot of it's starting to notice when it's starting to change, so you can plan ahead too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate that I get to work outside, and right. You know, so I have really no excuse, except usually I'm focusing on work. You know, my work likes me to work when I'm at work. So, you know, go figure. But, you know, if you have, you know, if you have a way, you know, some people may have an office view, or some, they may work in a building and get, you know, a elevated view. You know, there's sometimes opportunities there. And, you know, or, you know, it just, it just depends. You know, a lot of times we, like here right now, we're not in peak season because the temperatures keep changing. It got cooler. It was hot, then got cool, then it got hot again, and then it got cool, and now it's starting to creep up a little bit, and then it's going to go cool again. So the trees are like, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm losing some leaves, and then I'm not changing color, and it's just, it's going back and forth, but eventually it'll probably hit us, and it'll be gone in a day. Next thing you know, all the leaves would just fall off. But... you know, just, you know, look for opportunities. I know there's some people that it's a tradition. They will travel up the Northeast and go like Appalachian Mountains on up through, you know, New England and up into Maine. And I imagine Canada is beautiful during this season also. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if you say, you know, it was a weekday, you can plan a vacation if you really wanted to take advantage of capturing those colors. And then also, you know, you never know. Sometimes, like we have up here in the Carolinas, in North Carolina, there's Chimney Rock and we were just up there. My brain's failing me. Blowing Rock. You know, there's areas that you can go that are more touristy. And, you know, so sometimes you can go and everybody and their grandma is there. And you're like, wow, this is really busy. And we can't get through or can't stop to, you know, get a good sight without there being a ton of people. So you got to kind of balance out where you're going to go and what you're going to do.
Yeah. Well, I would say also when you mentioned about, you know, if you happen to miss them, a lot of times after the leaves fall, you can get a nice mosaic on the ground too.
Yes.
So, you know, I've had it where unfortunately it's turned into, oh, that's interesting. All, you know, it's like, or unfortunately it's one of those things, great, wonderful color, storm comes in, and then all the leaves are gone.
That reminds me, I hate having to rake all the leaves, but that's another story.
I say always negative about, there's always some major negative about all the seasons.
So, all right. So what would be some of your techniques in capturing fall colors? Cause I have a couple in mind.
I would say a lot. And just because combination of planning and just keeping an eye out for what's happening. Cause in terms of planning, I would say know the places that, especially if you live somewhere where there's a couple of parks nearby, just get a feeling for them before you head out. Like you said, there are places where if you want to go and get some pictures, everyone, you know, quote unquote, everyone knows where it is.
Yeah.
So you won't get any good spots there. Or it's one thing to, if you're paid to do a job and you get some great photos, but you're miserable trying to get it, that's one thing. But if it's, I want to do this for fun, but I'm going to be miserable getting this great shot, I'm not in it. I'm in it to enjoy myself. So yes. I would say definitely do that. But like I said, also look for the unexpected too. I know there are places, even if you live in a big city where there's maybe some small parks or a couple of trees that are planted where you can get a great pop of color, let's say with a bit of a city building behind it.
Uh-huh.
That'll give you kind of a nice little stand up there. I know when I and I don't know why, but I think someone else mentioned this too. In the past, it seemed like some of the HDR apps, I don't know if I think they did a better job, but I seem to be having a little bit of issue with where I'm just noticing it more where if I'm doing an HDR app, I'm getting a little bit more blowout of the bright colors.
Yeah.
While it's trying to capture the dark. So definitely the phones just don't have, at least the couple year older phones don't have that dynamic range that our eyes do. I know the newer phones are better, but they're still not there where you see this in your eye. You see this great, wonderful, clear, you know, explosion of color.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you think, wait a minute, this isn't what I saw.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always really good editing apps available if you want to, like, and not just overly boost it, but just boost it up a little bit to kind of match what you saw in your mind, in your eye, mind's eye, too.
Yeah. 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 It's.
And of course, watch out for the fallen leaves in case it's slippy, too. But.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's. Yeah. I have, you know, whenever I don't edit my images nearly as often as what a lot of people do. I do subtle changes. I do kind of mess a little bit with the saturation, but when it does come to like fall, like I remember I took, it's not a great photo. It had a lot of color, but it wasn't a great photo. You know, there was a rainbow and some dark clouds out from the view from my porch. And the tree had changed colors, and there was the rainbow, and there was a little bit of a darker sky. And, you know, it was like, dude, that looks great. You know, it wasn't the, to be honest, it was really a snapshot. There was nothing I could do to remove my cars that were in the driveway, plus the plumber's truck that was there because he was fixing, I think, our garbage disposal. And, you know, it just happened to be that there was this rainbow and the colors looked great and everything was good except for all the garbage that was left in the image. So, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, I want to go, but I can't, I got this thing going on. But if you do run it, you always have a chance. Maybe I can move to a different location, capture the image, right, and then go back home or do whatever you had to do. You know, so sometimes you have those opportunities and sometimes you just don't. So, you know, I took a picture. Nobody's really going to see it. Or maybe I put it on Instagram. I can't remember. But it wasn't anything to write home about. It was just, you know, you captured something that had a little bit of life in it. But, you know, you can go from the macro of trying to capture the images to the, you know, doing macro is to
the macro. Oh, you mean you're going from like up close where I've actually saw someone post like a single leaf.
Yes.
And you can actually zoom in even more to where you can see kind of the I don't want to call it the graininess of the leaf, but the actual cells of the leaf like that versus the entire image as a whole too.
Right. Or you can dive into it. I said macro thinking, you know, most of the time macro is the wide view, but it's actually the close up view, and my brain just kind of flipped. You know, going from a wide setting, you know, where you're capturing all the leaves down to the intricate details of the leaves. You know, there's I can't remember his name, but there's a photographer that does nothing but snowflakes. And, you know, it's beautiful images. But, you know, what if you were to take a collection of leaves, you know, that have different colors and dived into the textures and the different colors of those leaves and just capturing a landscape that is on a much smaller scale. So there are different right. things you can do with it. You don't have to, you know, take it from the grand, I'm, you know, the greatest landscape photographer. You know, we have listeners that you know, participate in the Facebook group that are amazing macro photographers. And they will dive into something, they will get close, and it is a different world. So, you know, don't limit yourself on where you're at or what you're doing. Just, you know, sometimes you can probably bring it indoors and bring it to you. Go out, collect some leaves, capture, you know, the landscape that is on those leaves and do something different.
Yeah. It's actually, I posted a little bit earlier today. I was actually taking a break at work and just walked outside to get some fresh air and noticed the one tree which has, I'm not an expert on plants, so I'm not sure what type of plants they are, but with the red berries on it.
Yes.
And the rest of the tree, and that was actually, I'm trying to remember, I think I used the macro on Camera Plus for that one. So the kind of the bokeh effect kind of came just from focusing too.
Yes.
Without me doing anything else or using a filter. Same thing with the one plant which lost all its leaves and all you had left was the actual the center part of the plant with the kind of the wilted
yeah.
part going around it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's like trying to get, like I said, even trying to do something a little bit different too.
Yeah. Matt just chimed in and he said, Joe, I think you're thinking of Don. Dom is Don Comarecha. And that is exactly who I was thinking about.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I just did a quick Google image search for him here.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
I know some people are passionate about, you know, certain things, but Don really, I mean, there is a technique and he has mastered that technique. And he had, you know, there, when you place a snowflake on a surface, if there is a even the slightest difference in temperature, it could totally melt that flake. You know, yeah. It's just they, you know, plus, you know, for him, he lives in Canada. So it's easy to have the conditions, you know, especially outside. But I'm in awe of that type of dedication. But we have, you know, other ways and other things that we can do. We don't have to do what everybody else is doing. You can think outside the box and do, you know, take a subject and really dive into it and be creative. So.
And I think that's one thing that what we have is, and I would say, we're obviously an iPhone group, but mobile photography in general is that generally you have your camera with you at all times. So you don't have to say, oh, that's a great picture. I need to walk back to my car where I may have my camera or, you know, it's something that you'll need to carry with you, which is incredibly bulky. You always have that with you there for that one shot that completely unexpected too.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention about that?
Well, I would say the one advantage of fall colors also, I know we talked about what happens if you tend to miss it type thing. The big difference for me also, well, I would say it's quick in terms of long period of time, but it is a shot you actually can take your time.
Yeah.
And shoot, not only it isn't like an action shot where if you don't shoot now or if you shoot a half a second later, it won't pick up what you want.
Yeah.
So this is actually a good time to try out and say, well, you know, I've always wanted to try to shoot in RAW. And I know, like, Camera Plus can do it. Adobe Lightroom can do RAW photos. So if you have a camera that can actually shoot in RAW and say, you know, I'm used to doing it in, let's say, the native camera app or something else, but and I'm used to shoot normal, but I want to try RAW and try processing, take your normal shot with your normal camera and then shoot it in RAW, since you don't have to worry about split second timing. That way you can get a feeling for, okay, well, this is what it comes up with this way, and here's, let's say, here's my normal, here's like, this is something I've tried with a couple shots this week, was here's the original, here's processing it, let's say, in Snapseed, and then processing in Lightroom, and maybe processing it in Light, and using the different apps, saying which one did I like, how it turned out better.
Yeah.
So since we got a subject where it's not a matter of you have to take the picture now or else, take it with multiple cameras if you want to and try it multiple ways and see which one you like. You may even like multiples.
Yeah. Very cool.
I mean, I will fully admit that I process. I'm not on Matt's level. I think Matt is on a different level from people. I mean, and I'm glad he does post his before and after photos, like of the lighthouse.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on a completely – and it's not – it's a combination of my personality. I don't necessarily have the patience to do that.
Yeah.
Or the skill.
I'm going to get him – I'm thinking of a shirt to get him. I'm on a different level. And just leave it like that. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, very cool. I think we can, you know, with any type subject, we can, you know, think outside the box or, you know, aspire to see, you know, what others are doing and try to replicate it. But, you know, it's just with certain things, it's like, how dedicated are you? What do you want to, you know, what do you want to do and where do you want to go? So very cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing some fall foliage images because I imagine we will see them soon. And I know the southern hemisphere is in the opposite direction. They're going to start getting it's starting to become springtime for them. And so that's when things are going to start growing back and there's going to be new things going on. So northern hemisphere is getting fall and the southern hemisphere is getting spring. And so it'll be interesting to see what we get.
Very true.
All right. Let me go ahead and play this.
It's that simple to put the app right on the phone.
Can I help?
All right, we are going to talk about an app. So, Dave, what is that app?
Okay, the app I went for this week is called Darker. It's spelled D-A-K-R. And I did a quick little video review for the Facebook group, but I'll say it here. Apparently, everyone's forgotten what E's are. You know, we get Darker, Flickr.
Oh yeah.
Tumblr.
Yeah.
Though I know you have to spell it differently from what the actual noun or verb is to trademark it, but yeah, it's the DAKR app. If you look at it for the App Store, it is. It looks like a can. It's for me. It's a white and a canister. 35mm film outline in black.
Yep.
And this was actually, I would say it is a develop. You can use it to take photos in it. It is a free app, and it's very usable without any of the in-app purchases. Especially if you take your photos in another app and you import them in.
Yeah.
It does have the opportunity to take the photos in the app itself. I would suggest against it just because the one that comes at no cost is what they call pocket camera. And you're looking through a viewfinder, like an old, I wouldn't even say an old 35 millimeter, but it's a very small viewfinder, thumbnail size, literally.
Yeah.
And unlike the old cameras where you could hold it up to your eye and it made it look, at least look a little bit better because you're looking on a screen, it doesn't help looking. Even though first time I did, I was like, oh, it's small. I'll hold it up to my eye and see if it helps.
Nope.
Using the muscle memory. Nope, not at all. So you're trying to get a good framing of a video, of a shot with a very, very small viewfinder. Now, they do have a medium and a large format available for purchase, but there's camera apps that I'm very comfortable with taking, so I'd rather do that and import it into what they call the dark room. So when I did this, and it only outputs black and white shots.
Yep.
So probably not the best one for fall colors. For this week, since everything will be a nice muted gray.
Oh, come on! You could put a red filter on. Come on,
that's true. But this is actually not only is it a good processing for me for black and white images. This is really educational for me. I never actually got my hands in developer and actually developed film by my own hands.
Yeah.
When I did shoot in film, when I was younger, we always drove down to the little person who lived in the little hut in the middle of the parking lot, dropped off the film, came back a week later.
Yeah.
Or used a drugstore for developing that way. But this actually does, it says, again, since I don't have to actually have hands-on experience, but it simulates actually developing film. And nice thing is it doesn't just throw you out there without any background, but it says, well, here's A, how you do it, and here's why you do certain things.
Yes.
So it says, okay, this first thing here, you go through different slides and you pick how many virtual seconds you want it developed. And it says, well, here's what you want to look for. And it goes through, it's a pretty extensive tutorial. And it says, here's what you want to look for, and here's the contrast, and here's how the app does it, and here's how it would actually do it in real life, and here's what you're looking for here. And then once you go through that initial, it gives you a way to use a mask to dodge and burn, so you can fix your overly bright or overly dark areas. And gives you a mask to do a blur on it so you can get a nice little background blur going on.
Yeah.
And what I found out is when you output it, because I took a picture using, again, just I think it was just the built-in app. And then I tried doing black and white in Snapseed.
Yes.
And I want to say in light and compared it to this app. And this app gives it a softer, more natural look.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't seem just as black and white. Okay, we have black and we have white and boom. This seems more like a photograph. It does a pretty good job on getting that there.
It's not a desaturation.
Right, right. Where it actually feels like here's a photo I took and actually had developed in black and white.
Yeah.
Where it turns out pretty good that way.
So I've been looking at this, and first off, they have in-app purchases where you can buy film for 99 cents, you can buy the large format camera for 99 cents, you can buy the medium format for 90 cents. Everything is 99 cents, but then they have a unlock everything for $2.99, which isn't a bad deal, no. Especially if you like this app. They have an area where you can go through and you can actually show the camera roll in color. There's an option in the general settings. They have the tutorials and all that. I did the black and white photography in the darkroom. So
okay,
it was 1999. I was kind of, I wanted a class to take in college that didn't bore me to tears. So I was like, yeah, you know, I've been taking, you know, snapshots my whole life. You know, I'd say, well, I'll try this photography thing. So I borrowed my parents' camera, and I signed up for the class, went in there, and dove right in. And I had to buy my own film. I had to buy my own prints. I had to develop the film, develop the prints in the dark room, and I was hooked. And everything that this app is taking you through is very much what I did. You know, when you would take, after you develop the film, you would take it to the enlarger and put some paper under the enlarger, and then we would do test strips, meaning we would, I want to say it was like 5 seconds each, and you turn the projector on for 5 seconds, move the piece of paper or whatever you're using to block the photo paper another 5 seconds until you had like five different strips of light. So the first one would take 25 seconds, and the last one would be 5 seconds, and you can see the detail. You could see the image, the contrasts, and which one was too dark and which one was too light. And somewhere in the middle, you would find the amount of light that you needed to go through that film to put it onto the photograph. And mm-hmm. And so then you say, "Oh, I need to do it for 15 seconds." And so then you'd move the test strip out of the way. Well, it's already out of the way. You take another piece of photograph paper, and you do it for 15 seconds. And then you develop it. You'd look at it. You'd get real close to see the different details. And you go, "You know what? This area would look better if it was, say, a little bit darker or a little bit lighter." And that's mm-hmm. where the dodge and the burn comes into effect. A lot of times we use this dodge and burn. What's dodge and burn? Well, dodging was putting something in the way of the light, but you kept it moving so that it would not, you wouldn't see the reverse shadow of it. And then the burning was opposite. You take something larger than the paper and stick a hole in it, and then you would take and focus on an area by moving it around to allow a little bit more light to burn the paper, and then you develop it. So a lot of these things that they have in the app are things that you would have done in the darkroom. And so there's a lot of things in photography that we kind of take for granted, just because we've heard it all the time, but we don't understand truly where it came from. And so it's this is a good way of kind of learning.
Right. And like I said, when they actually go through the tutorial, they actually give you the whole kind of a lot of background, which is really nice to see. If you're familiar with dodging and burning and the whole process, you can just dive right in without having to go through a lot of steps. But if you're kind of learning it, you can go back, read it a couple of times, get a feeling for it, and try different things going on too.
Yeah, very much so. Well, cool. I'm definitely going to give it a try. I don't know if I'm going to buy the kit and caboodle, but I might. $2.99 is not a lot, but I have to weigh whether or not I'm going to use it. You know,
right.
And so I did download the free versions, but I'll definitely give that a try.
Mm-hmm. Definitely worth trying out.
Cool. Very cool. All right.
Oh, and before we go off on the apps itself, I do want to mention that one app, which I think is popular with a lot of people in the group, Snapseed, had a major upgrade recently.
Yes.
To I mean it I would say it doesn't even look like the same app half the time now.
No, it does not.
And the one thing it does now have, in addition to the tools, now they call it tools now, but they have what they call looks.
Yep.
As an option, which they're pretty much just a combination of the different tools put together. So they're filters.
Yep.
The one thing that I dislike about a lot of filters is the names of them. It sounds kind of, you know, pedantic, but if I look at a filter, I want to have the name tell me what it's doing. I know things have gotten better, but I remember when I first started on Instagram, it's like, well, this is the Phoenix filter. This is the Tokyo filter.
Right.
I'm like,
that doesn't say anything. What does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, if you tell me it's a 1920s filter, I can understand that. If you want to tell me, you know, some things you can kind of read into, it's like, okay, what does this mean? At least the filters here, at least give you a little bit of feeling for what, and they do have live thumbnails.
Yeah.
So at least you get a little thumbnail of, let's say the morning one gives you that brighter picture and a little bit of a golden glow to it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, or they do give you some black and white ones here. So it's kind of like, okay, at least that can get you started. And it kind of shows you, at least for me, when I click on it, it says, okay, we're doing, portrait mode, and then we're doing this and we're doing this. So it gives you it doesn't tell you what it's doing, but it tells you the steps. Yeah. So it's not saying, well, this is using this particular tool and we're changing this detail about it. If you want to try to recreate it or see exactly what they made changes on, say, well, I kind of like that, but I want to make some additional more tweaks to it so I know exactly where to go to.
Yeah.
Which I know a lot of places don't. And the output features are pretty much the same as they were before, so at least they haven't touched that.
Yeah.
But it does feel significantly different. It seems like they tend to do that where most of the changes with Snapseed seem to be a major rethink or a major muscle memory change to it, it seems, for whatever reason.
I think that's just a Google thing.
They made changes. It's like major changes.
Yeah, I think it's a Google thing. And it could be a lot of times. You try to think of what the engineers or what the people that do all the planning is like. You know what? We need to have a new app. And in all honesty, no, you don't need a new app. But their thinking is, if we change it up and make it new, people will probably want to use it. For me, I'm always going to use it. And so they run the risk of, oh, we're going to make people angry, but we're going to get a whole lot of people. It's all about trying to stay relevant. And, you know, they probably did this to stay relevant. You know, they could have had focus groups and, you know, did surveys did you used to use Snapseed? Yeah, I used it back when, but now I've got this new thing and all I have to do is press this one button and the cartoon hearts and the, the cat whiskers come out on everything. And so, you have to battle that, but what are people wanting to do and is it staying relevant? So I guess that's why they make those changes.
Yeah, but like I said, at least for me, it's not major enough that I'm not using it in terms of the changes, but it is enough where it was a thinking of, boy, this is a huge change, and hopefully it won't mess up my what I'm used to doing as you get comfortable in an app.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, check out check out Snapseed, but then also check out the new pirate app that we have, which is called Dark R. Sorry, I had to do it. Darker for dark room. So DARKR. You can check it out and do that. Oh, let's see, Matt Matt said something. Snapseed has pretty much lost me. I don't like the new user interface. Ever heard of Enlight? Yeah. All right. Let's move on. We're going to move on to post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right. So we didn't do a post pick of the week last week because we didn't have a show. So we're moving into our weekly photo challenge, and it was freestyle. So this was going to correlate with our YouTube venture in taking our show and putting it on YouTube. So we had a lot of people submit images, and really beautiful images. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take these images and have them play as a slideshow during this episode. And they're going to, instead of it being like, let's say it's an hour long show and we had six people that put in images, they're not going to be 10 minutes each, you know, at one time. We could probably do it that way. But what I'm probably going to do is say, put the images in five times in a row so that they'll be 2 minutes each time, you know, that way, and it'll scroll through. So we're going to play around with it. We're going to come up with a best practice, but you know, it's going to be probably, it's going to be a lot easier the more images that we get than it is, say, three people submitted. That would be like, wow, it's going to be the same three images the whole time. And YouTube's supposed to be visual. So like I said, this is going to be interesting. But we had a lot of good images, and there was one in particular that popped out at me, and I just lost it. Oh, here it is. And I have to say, I really like it. It is, just lost it again. All right. Ay, ay, ay. This is what happens when you look on it on your iPhone. All right. Mm. It is a butterfly that is sitting on top of a flower, and it was, it's called Monarch Migration, and it was submitted by Vivian Fernandez, and I really like it. It is a beautiful image of a monarch butterfly, and you're not looking at the you're not looking down at the flowers, but you're looking from ground level up at the flowers with the monarch sitting on top of it. And I like it. The blue is, the sky is crisp. The greens are there. And of course the contrast of that is the orange coming from the butterfly. And I like it. Plus there's a lot of good, there's a narrow depth of field so that, you know, the things in the background are slightly blurred or really blurry. So it gives you that nice depth of field.
Yeah, and the angle it's taken at is, I mean, trying just to rack your brain in terms of how to get that shot, because it looks like the camera's pretty much flat on the ground looking up.
Yeah, it is.
It's just an amazing shot there.
Yep. So congratulations, Vivian. You are our post pick of the week. If you are interested in being post pick of the week, go on to our Facebook group and look for our pin post at the top of the Facebook group. and submit an image. Each week, every 2 weeks, we have a new theme. And during those 2 weeks, we will have people submit their images. And in the off week that we aren't picking from the weekly photo challenge, we go to Instagram and we go under the hashtag Tiny Shutter, and we will submit, we will pick a submitted image that has the hashtag Tiny Shutter. Now, I haven't gotten too far into thinking about it, but it's probably something that I'll have to come up with is on the off week, do we just use one image? Or how do we go about choosing the images to go into the YouTube channel? That's the question.
Yeah.
And we'll probably have to work on that one.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because like you said, during the off week, only, I don't want to say only 1 week, but we may not have enough photos, or just split it up over 2 weeks. I could see wanting to do the every other week.
Yeah.
For the photos from the challenge and try and figure out another way to get, we'll definitely, like I said, it's something brand new. So we're all learning together.
Yep. So in case you're wondering, we, the post pick of the week is what we use for our album art. So when we post our audio on our website, the image that you see for that episode will be the post pick of the week. And then also when you go onto the Facebook group, the cover banner is the post pick of the week from either the weekly photo challenge or from Instagram. And every week we will have a new banner image, and that would be our winners. And this is just a great way for us to showcase what our listeners are doing and, you know, get some participation going, because more people that participate with our group, you know, the more others will hear about it, because a lot of times people say, hey, my image was featured on this podcast, you know, and, you know, not that we're great or anything, but, you know, it's just, you know, people are like, oh, I'll check it out. And so the more listeners we get, the more people participate, the more we get to see beautiful images and are able to be inspired.
Yeah, most definitely. And also, we're a very friendly, supportive group.
Yes.
So if let's say you're familiar with what social media can be,
yep,
and you're not familiar with our Facebook group, very friendly, supportive, and at right now up to 1,309 members.
Woohoo!
Because I know it wasn't too long ago we were doing the countdown to 1,000, so it's we have great growth, and
yeah.
If you're on the group already, you know, someone who's interested in iPhone photography, or even just says, wow, you took some really interesting photos, I'd like to learn more, or, you know, suggest them as a member.
Yeah.
It's quick and easy to do.
And if they're not friendly or helpful, we'll beat them up.
We take care of them, don't worry.
Oh, very cool. All right, Dave, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think we're good for the week.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Oh, I did forget one thing.
Nope.
We need to say what our new weekly photo challenge is. And okay. It is going to be, is it fall foliage?
Do you want to do foliage, or do you want to just do fall colors?
Warren in the chat had an idea of doing fall foliage in black and white. Yeah. Which would be the opposite of fall colors. Let's do fall colors. We can do that.
I mean, please, if you have great, you know, leaf pictures and foliage pictures, please post them.
Yeah, you could do that. But let's, you know, not everywhere is going to have fall foliage. So let's do fall colors, and that way we're not leaving people out.
Right. Yep. And again, like you said, this is definitely okay. Yeah. English, I have a problem with English. Thank you, Matt. Yinzer is my first language. So if I'm also looking at the calendar, this will take us through Halloween also.
Yes, it will.
So tons of, you know, chances out there if everything gets more orangey this time of year too.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So, all right. Fall Colors is going to be the weekly photo challenge. And let me play this again.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
And this.
Barely.
All right, barely. thanks, Bill Murray. Dave, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram as ProfPod and as Dave Podner in the Facebook group.
Watch your language, young fella. This is a public market.
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our Facebook group, our YouTube channel, and also our show notes by going to tinyshutter.com. All right. Well, I think we are done. And so, Dave, why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
Thanks so much, everyone, for interacting, and have a glorious week.
And we will see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
You don't say much, friend, but when you do, it's to the point, and I salute you for it.